I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain. Time to die.
Hello to episode 94 of Sean Hammer. Well, it's been a month since I've been back from a death to the con. It sounds about right that I finally get off my ass and cover about a little bit what I did and what I picked up there. So that will be the majority of today's show. Also, I'll be going over which I feel I finally got them. I think it's a missing link to my Arcanist cruise that I've been running, and which is the Gunsmith. And Ionis. He's a new model I'm picking up. I'm running with my Outcast, so we'll go over him today. Let's go over with what I've been doing. Well, I've been painting like a motherfucker. I've been painting up random stuff, trying to get projects underway. Finally, my University of Transmortis figures all done. Working on trying to get more of the Molly crew finished, so she's all complete. Working on Kaladi and his puppets. I picked them up. Yeah, don't get me started. I painted, just got done with the Gunsmiths. Finished up the random ass Oxfordy mage I had looming around. And I'm working on Mouse as well tonight. Not as I'm speaking, but tonight. So I've been doing a lot of painting. Been playing a little bit of HeroClix and just watching a lot of TV. Trying to figure stuff out insurance-wise and stuff with my health and stuff. So, let's go ahead and talk about Adepticon. This year it was a new spot. It was in Schaumburg, Illinois. It's a little bit different from Lombard. As for the actual event, I think I prefer the other location, but the hall was bigger, so that was pretty cool. Speaking of the hall, not the hall, but the game, the vendor hall. Speaking of that, I picked up a couple cool things. I finally broke down and bought the Impact City roller derby game. The guy gave it to me for $20, and he gave me two resin teams. So I'm looking forward to getting them all done and playing that a few times. As far as I know, it might be wrong on this, but I don't believe it has a escalation system to increase your stats and everything. So we'll go there. It looks like it's fun. I picked up some Purity Seals. Space Wolf and Sister Battle. You can wear them like adult-sized Purity Seals. My grandbaby was wearing those around the other day. We were playing Ninja Turtle Hero Clicks. Those are pretty fun times. Let's see. I picked up these base inserts made of MDF and laser cut from Death Ray Designs. They're pretty cool. I just think it's pretty neat. It's a nice concept. You get 40 base inserts for like $11 or $13. It's pretty sweet. I have a picture of those on my Facebook page with different things I've been putting on them. Been checking out the Malifaux mats. I got my heart set on one from Ebenezer's Emporium, which is that's a company, but the mat I'm looking at is cobblestone. Not the one with the streets, but it's like eerie and stuff. It played on the map. I was like really kind of happy about it. But they're sold out of it, so hopefully I can pick it up and stuff pretty soon. Let's see. did some paint and take with my wife in the vendor hall. And that was pretty cool. I like spending time with my wife. Bought some Mouseling figures from the Bones collection from Reaper. Don't ask. It's a thing. I just like little mouse creatures holding bow and arrows and swords and shit. So, that's there. Let's see. What else did I buy and look at? I looked at a lot of stuff. Picked up some weird stuff. Had to buy a new rules manual because I didn't. Couldn't find mine. I didn't spend enough to get the limited edition Witchling Handler. I thought they would have the Sow available and Gunsmiths, but they didn't. So I didn't really spend a lot of money at the weird booth. Looked at a lot of cool figs, though. And I, like I said, got all of them on the Sean Hammer website. If you want to go look at these nice figures that were painted, that's the place to go. What did I pick up from weird? I picked up... I didn't pick up any bad ink decks. I probably should have because they sold out the next day. I didn't get the starter set because I've been getting a lot of my Malifaux supplies from Gamer Nerds on its eBay. It's a company in Plano, Texas. Good prices, free shipping, and they had not have any problems for it. So, a little shout out to them. Good job. Let's see, Malifaux, what else did I buy? I did buy something else there. I can't remember. Oh! I bought the 10th anniversary figure, Ionis, and I'll be going over him today. And he's pretty cool. I was going to buy the tortoise and hare collector box, but you can only use them in the scenario unless you use them for proxies for other things, like the tortoise you can use for Azamu. I forgot who you can use the hare for, but my Azamu is pretty damn sweet. It fits a theme, so I didn't go with it. I didn't buy it, even though I really like turtles. So, that's about it. Vendor Hall was pretty cool. Just buying miscellaneous little trinkets and baubles as we went along. They had a free gaming area upstairs. I played my wife and some Malifaux. That was pretty good. And, first time I played against, Sammy and some Bushwhackers, and they are a pain in the ass. I pulled out okay. And we'll get to why I did, too, because the crew I played for the storyline event. Basically, we ate, stayed in a hotel. I just try and get familiar with the area. Could have been a better time. I do apologize for my wife for this. If I would have did some studying more and actually planned on some more stuff to do. This was a last-minute trip for us. We put together basically within 3 weeks. So, hopefully we go again. It'd be a little bit more better time. So, mainly what I went for is I wanted to play in. I want to get some open gaming, which I did with my wife, not too much outside of that. I wanted to play in this year's Malifaux Story Encounter tournament. When you play, you get a limited edition, well, I don't know if it's limited edition, but you get a free figure, a knuckle duster figure, and it's basically a tightrope walker, a female tightrope walker, with fans on the end of her pole to keep herself steady. I'll be giving that away, I think. Probably give it away here. And this is all you gotta do. I will give away the knuckle duster tightrope walker. For, I'll give it to the time I put up the next podcast, which I will say wholeheartedly, I will try to have it out in 2 weeks. But you know me, so give me 3 or 4. You send me my website, on my Yahoo account, a picture of one of your finely painted Malifaux models or crews. And I will take all the submissions, and what I feel is my favorite, I'll spotlight it next episode, and you'll win yourself a knuckle duster tightrope walker limited edition model that you can run for in a Colette crew or in a dark the Dark Carnival as a proxy. So that little giveaway hopefully gets some people interested. So let's go ahead and go about the Malifaux Story Encounter. For this, I end up playing the same crew all 3 games. I could have switched back and forth, but I chose not to. I played Ulix, and in the Ulix crew, I took Old Major, Gracie, 3 Piglets, 2 Wild Hogs. That was my crew. I was initially going to try and fit in a slop hauler, but I left the cart at home but brought the water with me. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, you swear it's my new time ever playing this game. So, for the most part, I kept the same upgrades on them, too. I picked the poking stick, whatever it's called, the whacking stick for Ulix, Dirty Cheater, and the bow for Ulix. And I took Corn Husk on Old Major. And I believe it left me with 2 Soul Stones extra. Sorry, a cash of 5. I want to say 5. But I kept that through all 3 events. Now, it's pretty cool on these because it allows you, on your schemes, every one of them, you can pick your faction specific. So, my first game was basically Tickets to the Greatest Show on Earth. What we had here was 2 ticket booths, height 5, hardcover, and passable train in the middle of the table that moved around on a flip at the end of the turn. And if you were in base-to-base contact with them, the ticket booth would do 2, 4, 5 damage to you. If it attacked you, an amount of ticks, interact action, sorry, with a ticket boost, you have to pass a duel to get a ticket. If you fail, it attacks you. If not, you get a ticket. And at the end of the turn, if it's in base-to-base contact with you, you take 2 damage. So that's pretty cool. So basically what it is your scheme is, your strategy is you get 2 VP if all your models you have left alive at the game have a ticket. So they have to interact with the booth or be given a ticket. So everyone that's alive on your team has to be given a ticket. Or if you have more tickets than your opponent, it's 2, or if it's a tie, it's 2. So straight out of the get-go, I was like, okay, interact with this dang thing, go from there. Pigs, not the greatest amount of willpower, but luckily enough, I did interact with it a couple times. I did get tickets, so that was pretty cool. If you killed somebody with a ticket, you could take theirs. Schemes available were Assassinate, Protect Territory, Vendetta, Power Ritual, Line in the Sand, and Faction Specific. So it was just like, because I never played with my Faction Specific scheme before, which I never even looked at, I decided that's what I was going to do. And for Gremlins, you have to have 4 more models on the table, full health. Pretty good. I had some healing in the crew, you know. My pigs could heal themselves. Gracie could do her shit, you know. So I picked Protect Territory and the Faction Specific. Well, I ended up playing against Lilith, the Widow Weaver, Barbaros, a doppelganger, which did crap, and some just random shit he had. So basically, you can understand the fact that I couldn't achieve my faction specific scheme because of the fact I couldn't have more. I could have more than 4 models that were unharmed at the end of the game. I interacted with the ticket booth a couple times, got wind to flip to move it, damaged him a couple times, but he was killing my things that had tickets and taking them, and his other people, like the Widow Weaver and the Doppelganger, were interacting with the booths and stuff like that, and they were taking the tickets. So unfortunately, even though how much fun it was, I lost that game. I only achieved, 3 points or whatever for my, or 2 points for Protect Territory. So, all in all, it's a fun game. Played against a good guy. He introduced me to another thing that I bought, and I was going to save it for here. I forgot the name of them, and I'm looking at everything about what the name of it was, but they don't have it on here. So, Mod Cube is what it was called. These are these pieced together, 2-piece cubes, size of dice, a little bit larger. Now, you buy your dice, you buy your colors, you can mix different colors and stuff, and you pick out what game you're playing. So you can pick out 40K, in this case, Malifaux and stuff like that. You get all these little tiles put inside the cubes to represent your conditions and everything like that. And it's just a pretty sweet way to represent poison and burning and reactivate. Any condition you can have for Malifaux, it pretty much covered it where you would need it. I kind of wish I bought 2 sets. and three sets of tiles, but fortunately enough, with my pocketbook and fate, I bought the last set of Malifaux. Inserts. So I bought these cubes and stuff, and they were pretty great. My second game ended up playing, like I said, played the same crew. Now this one here was the Devil's Games. This was representative of about four markers on the center line. And when you interact with a marker, you got a certain... each marker represent rams, totems, grow, or mask. And depends on the marker that you interacted with, you got a condition. And what you had to do for this strategy is to get one of these conditions, do what it says, like the condition says, then it resets itself, and you get another one, you get a point for each one. Like, we'll go with rams. This model chooses a game melee expert, range combat expert, or casting expert, plus one. When this condition is gained, note the model, and if the model kills that model before the end of the game, the condition gains one VP. So, you know, you're getting different victory points for that. I didn't do that one. I didn't get rams. Which one did I get? I think I got... Oh, that's what it was. I got masks. I got one victory point for this. So it's the model Gang Nimble. And this was a wild boar. And this model kills or sacrifices enemy model. Its controller may place a 30mm... Oh, no, Gracie got this. Remains marked within 3 inches of model. And then they interact with it to get 1 AP. They spend 1 AP and they remove it to get 1 VP. So Gracie got that. I'd like to say that Gracie is the finest Gremlin Pig model out there in the game. She's awesome. She just says that. Her reactivate, her damage, her healing, and just the look of her. She's just so cute. But anyway, so that was the strategy. Schemes for bodyguard, distract, frame for murder, spring trap, line in sand, and faction specific. I picked bodyguard and line in the sand. Picked line in the sand because basically ticket booth things were in the middle. You didn't interact with them. Simple as that. And bodyguard because Gracie is just a beast and she ate a lot of stuff. I played against the McMorning crew. Took a bit of damage here or there. Ulix was the man. I kept prodding my pigs and everything, and it went really well. I won that game 6-2, so that was pretty good. Very memorable part in the game, too, is the gentleman forgot to pull out Beta Nor. She was buried the whole game, so that was always positive. And second is I had a piglet that kept rushing McMorning, and I had him pushed all the way at the other end of the table just with his little pig rush ability, and I was making my defense flips like a madman. It pushed McMorning outside of his whole poison bubble thing that he was trying to do and everything, so it was a pretty fun game, and the fact that I won, so it's pretty cool. Third round was Trapped in a House of Mirrors, and this is basically, it's a teleporting. You go to the middle of the game, or you spend AP, you say, I'm teleporting, zaps you to a random quarter of the table. You get points for enemy models that are in the non-PM model in the enemy's deployment zone. No one gained that. For the strategies or the schemes on that one, let me see. Assassinate, bodyguard, murder protege, make them suffer, land and sand, faction specific. So I picked bodyguard because I had Gracie, and line in the sand. Didn't get any points for the schemes on the strategy on this one. My opponent didn't either. I forgot what he had. I got my line in the sand. I got my bodyguard is all I made out on that one, and I lost it by 2 points. So I think it was like 5-3. That one I played against Jacob Lynch in this 10 Thunder crew, and it wasn't really 10 Thunders as I would imagine. I mean, Jacob Lynch crew as I would play, but I guess there is no wrong way to play as long as you're playing right. So there's a lot of the book three creatures in there. There was a Anna Lovelace in there and stuff like that. It was okay to play. Went to time. We had to call time. There's a lot of takebacks with Huggy dying and coming back and just, I don't know. It could have been a little bit better of a game, but it was alright. I had fun. That's all that matters. Before I forget, whoever wins, whoever gives me a picture of their really good, their best Malifaux minion, or any model, or crew, not only would they get the Knuckle Duster miniature, but I got a Nethera storybook. Like the story of what's happened with the Nethera. All color and stuff, and I'll throw that into it as well. So that's basically why I went to Adepticon this year, because I wanted to play. I'm going to play in a storyline event. Next year, I think my wife wants to do the cosplay thing, so that'd be pretty cool. Maybe get some more games in with her. We talked about crews that she might play on the ride home and the train and everything like that. So maybe I'll get more games in with my wife and have her in on the show. So that was basically Adepticon. I just spent some money to go buy some shit, stay in a hotel, eat, and play some Malifaux. What else can you do? Now, when I got back, I ended up getting my gunsmiths in the mail, and I found out it's been racking my brain. Oh, I got a Colette crew. So, it's been racking my brain. How can I fill up a crew? What do I need in this crew to make it work? So, the Colette, not too hard to understand. I got my mist up I'm going to throw on there with the showgirls and everything, the Corphy. I think it's going to flow well, and I'm just going to get them painted and play and go from there. But I got my Ironsides. I was just like, okay, what do I want to run with Ironsides? Got the 3x 40 mages, Mouse, the Captain, Ironsides. To fit with the whole theme of everything, I want to definitely make sure they had the MSU. So I was just like, well, I can run rail workers. I'm particularly fond of rail workers because I play Mayfang. But then I was just like, what do I really want to do? I don't think the Metal Gaming, which I still have to purchase from my Mayfang crew, are really the way I want to go. But something told me I want something that represents the fact that Tony Ironsides is a Union Enforcer. So what fits the theme in my head that works? And what does her team lack? Even though it doesn't really lack it with Axe 40 mages, with casting expert can be shooting three things a turn. So I decided gunsmiths. Perfect. They got smoldering heart. There's some fire shenanigans going around in that crew, and in Mayfang. If I wanna cross these two over, and plus they're all Arcanist models, so it's no big deal to do it. But getting them, putting them together on the female figure I love. Painted really well. Had fun painting her, the male. I just got them done. That's all. I just got him painted. No love for the fact that he is a gunsmith. But I think I've got the key right here. And it says 7 Soulstone Minion. And it's important too for my Ironsides, is because if I come across any strategies that call for you to do something with a minion, then the Oxfordy mages are enforcers. Mouse is a totem. Captain's a henchman. So I needed to fill a nice minion role, and I think that these work well. Tony Ironsides, she can make people better when there are less wounds and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. So here we got a 7-wound model, defense 5, 5 willpower, 5 walk, 6 charge, height 2. They got hard to kill, and defense smoldering heart, which means that after this model succeeds in its defense, the attacking model gains burning 1 condition. Pretty cool, why not, right? And we'll get to why it's important to have burning condition, because they got their own little tricks and everything with them. They have a defense and a willpower, concealed weapons, after resolving this model gains fast condition. So, you really gotta think what trigger you want to use on your defense willpower. But, fast, it's pretty cool, and burning, for everything else they can do, it's pretty cool. These guys have some, pistols. They kind of remind me of, if anyone's seen the cartoon, Outlaw Star, the main character had a caster pistol, which had magic bullets, where they would switch around to do different things. And I thought it was pretty cool, and they labeled them by different numbers. That's my little anime reference. But they got custom pistols, shooting 6 against defense, 12 range, or 2 hand-to-hand. So it's kind of like with Perdita, where she can use the pistols in hand-to-hand. Target suffers 2, 3, 4 damage. Plain and simple. Now, there's no paired or anything like that. I kind of wish they were, because the one chick, Gunslinger, she got 2 pistols out like she's Barty Badass Arena. But they got a trigger for every stat. A trigger for every suit. On the Tome, they got piercing, which they can ignores armor, hard to wound, and hard to kill. Yeah, those are all things that make your life hard. On the Mask, they got experimental, which increases the damage to 4-6. On the Ram, they can explode stuff with a 2-3-4 damage, but the 3 and 4 has a blast. And they got cursed on a Crow. Damage from this attack may not be prevented using Soul Stones. So, yeah, it gets pretty damn fucking frustrating when you're trying to kill a Master and they got a lot of Soul Stones and they're using them and stuff like that. So, yeah, been a nice little icing on the cake. They got tactical action, they got 2 of them, 0, so like with their defense triggers, they got 2 tactical actions to choose from, they're only going to use one. One is the hard way, this model gains the following condition to end of turn, easy target, this model gives a plus flip to all duels against a model with a burning condition. So, yeah, so you shoot something that shot you or hit you and they're burning now. Now you're flipping 3 cards, picking what you want. Easy for any. Of course, you can switch. You can cheat fate and stuff on positive flips. And they have switch chambers, which is a 0 action as well. And this kind of solidifies the fact that it reminds me of the Outlaw Star characters. Basically, what they're going to do, they're going to discard a card. And to end the turn, to get the new chamber. This model gains the suit to all of its final duels, which match the suit of the card discarded. So there's certain control that you can do of the disarm for your bullets. And I think I'm going to be really happy playing these with my Ironsides crew, or basically any of my Arcanist crew, so I can't really wait to get them on the table and everything. And we'll see how they go. And like I said, with Tony Ironside, she gets I don't know, so like a few good men or something like that, so when you take damage, you're not on your, you're hurt, you're not on your starting wounds, you get plus flips everything and stuff when you're on a radius sliver, so that's pretty cool. Well, let's go on to the very wordy, very long, very confusing, very, very time-consuming, and Aeonus, I say time-consuming because he's basically, the father of time and stuff like that. Matter of fact, his model's on the top of grandfather's clock. He's perching around like some creepy bird. And this guy here is based after basically the time deity, I would say Greek. Don't kill me if it's wrong, of mythology. Deals with time. Usually runs around naked. I'm glad this guy's got a cloak on. But this guy here, he is a 12-cost henchman mercenary rare. He's got 1k cash. Will I play him? Yes, I will play him in henchman games for sure. I will, and I'll explain. I'm going to play him with Void Wretches and the Nothing Beast. So let's just go there. So let's go ahead and go over Aeonus, a lot of his abilities and such. Okay, his abilities. Let me get my breath here. When a friendly non-peon, non-leader model with a soulstone cost of 1 or more activates within 4 inches, it may discard a card with a value higher than the soulstone cost to gain fast. So here you go. You can fast to your crew. You're going to need card value than its, you got to discard a card higher than soulstone cost. So you're running around giving things fast. He's got between the seconds. This model's actions, which deal damage, deal plus 1 damage to models with a fast or slow condition. So you're going to have to rely on your enemy having fast or slow. But like I said, that's not a problem. All you got to do is make sure you have some Void Wretches on the table. Then you can give them fast and slow. They're going to be like laughing all the way along. He's got the Stolen Time. This model generates one additional AP when it activates. So it's basically, he's a 3 AP model. During turns 1 and 2, this AP may only be used to take walk actions. From turn 3 onwards, this AP can only be used to take charge actions. So it's kind of like a half the game nimble, half the game casting casting expert. He's got Beyond Your Magic, reduce all damage this model suffers from casting actions by half. So I can't wait to get her up against freaking that flaming. Anyway, be nice, Sonya Crid. Or Karis, for that matter. She can probably do the same. He's got attack actions of Bony Fingers, which casts 6-foot Atome. Resists defense, 2 range. Target suffers 2, 3, 5 damage, ignoring armor. Hello, Hoffman's crew. The attack can target buried models regardless of line of sight. So here we go again. The coordination you can do with a crew with Terra, a couple death marshals and bearing things and everything like that, and damaging with Ionis, pretty scary. He's got, when you hit your tone trigger with that, after dealing severe damage to a model in play, bury the target model, unbury the target and base contact with this model at the end of the turn, or before this model is removed from play. So if you do hit them and they're not buried, you can bury them, then do them again while they're buried, and it was just like, it's pretty cool. On a crow trigger, he's got life wasted. After damaging, the target gains slow. Nothing's better than a slow model, or a paralyzed model. Shifting Sands with a mask. After damaging an enemy, place a friendly scheme marker in a base contact with the enemy. Each enemy scheme marker within 3 inches of this model, then... Okay, let me get this. After damaging an enemy, place a friendly scheme marker in a base contact with the enemy scheme marker within 3 inch pulse of this model. Then discard each enemy scheme marker within 3 inches of this model. So it's like, put it down, so it's a little Shifting Sands. Let's see. His next attack action is Out of Time. It's casting of 6 with a tome. Range 10, resist willpower. Target gains the slow condition. It only triggers the wasting after succeeding models within 2 inches of the target must succeed a 12 horror duel or gain slow. So you're giving out slow, and don't forget that you get deal +1 damage on all your damages with him against slow or fast models. He's got tactical actions. 0, time changes all to casting. Target number 9 with a double tome. Target a marker within 6 inches that is not part of the strategy. You may place the marker within 6 inches of its current location, not in the base contact with other markers, models, or terrain. So you can move things such as the flame wall, ice walls, web markers. You can move them, you can screw up somebody's plans. And his other tactical action is Midnight. And this is a cast, 16, you're needing for this. Push off friendly scheme markers in play, up to 2 inches. On a double tome trigger, look at the future. After resolving, place off friendly or enemy scheme markers of your choice within 2 inches of this model. So you really fuck up somebody's day in the game on this. A lot of synergy with the Terra crew. He is a mercenary, so he can run with anybody. He's already put together, already glued everything on his clock, so as far as you're worried about putting together a spindly model or something, you don't need to worry about it. Plus, he comes with a 40 millimeter translucent yellow base. So that's it. I'm going to call it quits for today. Remember, I want to see some Malifaux pictures sent to Sean, S-E-A-N, Hammer, H-A-M-M-E-R, the number 9, at yahoo.com. Before the next podcast goes up, I'll pick my favorite, and you'll win yourself a Knuckle Duster Limited Tightrope Walker and an Ethereum storybook. Well, I guess it's a story supplement or whatever. So, that's that. Pretty soon we'll be covering probably Ma Tucket, maybe some... I did Gremlins. I did Ulick. So let's finish out the Gremlins. Well, let's take a break from Gremlins. I don't know what we'll be doing, but we'll talk about something. Have I played any 40K? No. Have I played any Ninja Turtle Hero Clicks? Yeah. Have I played some Malifaux? Yes. Have I painted? Definitely. Damn yes. We'll leave you today, and hopefully I'll see some pictures pretty soon. And remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.